Okay, very good. So, good morning, everyone. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is a little after 10 on, July 14th of 2021. My name's Julie Fedorchak. I'm chair of the commission. Also present with me are Commissioner Randy Christman and Brian Crosius. So we have a quorum. To discuss the matters. Let's see, in terms of opening comments, I enjoyed attending the NDC band, Broadband Association of North Dakota meeting yesterday in Medora. Great gathering of folks, a lot of talk about the wonderful work that's been done in the state to connect people to high-speed internet, a lot of it by our rural providers, which is really amazing, and they've continued to find creative ways to use the funding that's available at the federal level to help extend service, broadband service, to folks throughout the state. We have some of the highest levels of connectivity in the nation, and even those areas that are being that are more remote now and not receiving service, they're slowly but surely filling in those gaps with some additional RDOF funds, et cetera. So it was great to be up there. Always good to be in Medora, of course, but also wonderful to be with those folks who are providing such an important service and significant investments in our state. I also thought it was really interesting to learn about the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library and the plans for that are underway. The luncheon speaker spoke about that, and it promises to be really an amazing library when all is said and done there. So that's an exciting new attraction that the state is working on, and plans are proceeding and moving ahead, and it's going to add to the greatness of Medora. So looking forward to that in coming years. With that, I'll pass it over to my colleague, Commissioner Christman, if you have any opening comments.
You pretty much covered everything that I was going to say. A lot of great work being done and a lot more important work to be done by those local telephone companies. I still have a hard time remembering that it's not NDATC anymore as it was when I was there and is now banned. And I still continue to work on that they should change Mr. Crothers' title to director so he would be the band director.
Oh, that's a good one. Excellent. I appreciated your comments yesterday. Commissioner Christman was the keynote speaker, and he touched on something really important that I hope you're going to bring forward at a commission meeting in the not-too-distant future, too, about the turning back of numbers so we can maintain our 7-digit, not have to get another area code in North Dakota, et cetera, because I think you've done a lot of good work on that, and I'm hoping we can follow up some of your comments yesterday with a letter to all those folks, kind of making a formal request of the nature you did more informally yesterday, but really great work on that. I learned some things that I hadn't learned. So very good. Commissioner Crosius.
Well, good morning, everyone. I too attended the annual meeting of band, and right there was no director, but I'm just incredibly impressed. Actually, there were a lot of directors there, but incredibly impressed with the work that they do, and you always learn something in terms of how. I was able to sit with individuals from Polar and visit with 7 or 8 of them for quite some time, and they talked about getting through COVID over the past year, and everything from their children, the distance learning, educating some of their staff members, if you will, on Zoom calls. There was a learning curve for all of us, but technology really did save the day in terms of getting through the pandemic, and I realize that it isn't reached a full conclusion yet in terms of the pandemic, but technology just proved to be so incredibly important through that period of time in particular, and it continues to be in the work that that association does, is to be commended. So enjoyed talking to them. And then the other thing that I learned that I did not know, and it was something I didn't know 5-digit numbers were a thing. I honestly didn't. I was listening. It's like 5-digit number. So I just remember, and I don't know if it was said yesterday, but I heard someone say it. I remember as a teenager hoping the cord from the rotary phone was long enough that I could sneak it under the door and get into the bedroom when I was talking to, trying to woo some young lady into going out on a date with me. So, yeah, interesting times, obviously. They've changed quite a bit due to technology and good parts and bad parts. But no, I didn't realize there were ever 5-digit numbers, so now I know.
Good. Thank you, Brian. And I'm sure you had some stinking siblings like I did who would just pull the cord as they saw it.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty soon you're like, oh, leave me alone. Yeah. Starts popping out of that.
My older brother, slightly older brother, if he was listening, I would say much older, but slightly older brother, he was famous for that. But he wasn't smart enough to figure out that I could do that to him too. So.
Oh, it could always disconnect on the other end as well. Okay, very well, very well. Thank you. I do want to take one extra minute to welcome a new member of our team, Marcus Detloff. Marcus, it's great to have you on board. He is a new member of our Public Utilities Division. He is an analyst. He'll be an analyst there. And he comes to us with an electrical engineering degree. We're very excited to have your technical capabilities and experience on staff, and know that we will put you to very good use. We are in very dire need of more electrical engineering background, and there's no end to the applications, both in siting and in our regulatory work with rate cases, as well as with both the RTOs, in particular MISO, where I know you'll be doing a fair amount of work, and I look forward to working with you there. So welcome to the commission. It's appropriate that your first week there's a commission meeting, so you can see this side of our work, the more formal side, and we look forward and hope that you find this to be a rewarding, interesting place to work, and we do manage to have a fair amount of fun as well. So welcome. Okay, let's see. With that, I think we have a number of items on consent, as well as minutes from our June 23rd and 29th commission meetings. I move approval of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Moving into the regular agenda, Brian, you are the only one who has items on the regular agenda, so I'll move it right over to you.
All right. Well, the first one will be pretty easy, and then the next two probably intermediate, and the last one will be, I'm sure, quite certain, the most interesting. So there's a prelude for those in the room. But my first one, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Sun Electric Incorporated Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number PU-20-98.
Second.
This stems from a one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation by Sun Electric of North Dakota Century Code, the one-call excavation notice system. As a result of that complaint, the commission sent a letter to Sun Electric enclosing the complaint. Sun Electric did file a timely response to the commission, and subsequently Kinder Morgan then filed additional information regarding the complaint on June 21st of 2021, a consent agreement between PSC advocacy staff and Sun Electric was filed for resolution of the complaint, and this stems back to in February 26th of 2020, Sun Electric personnel provided an excavation notice to the One Call Notification Center with work to begin on March 2nd. It was to install electrical conduit in Watford City, North Dakota, on February 26th, Sun did begin excavating, and they were performing the work. No damage did occur, but since the excavation was not made in time of an emergency, they filed the excavation notice on the 26th of February. They began work that same day before they had clearance, and because of that, it was deemed that they failed to provide an excavation or location notice before beginning any excavation, even though they had made the call. And it's important for all excavators, you still have to wait to have the ticket cleared before you can begin digging. Under the consent agreement that PSC advocacy staff put together with Sun Electric, they agreed to be assessed a civil penalty of $500 with $250 suspended on condition that Sun Electric commit no further violation of North Dakota One Call Law within 5 years of the date of an order accepting the consent agreement. I support it and appreciate the work the staff put in on it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, second, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission, Gladden Construction Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-20-368.
Second.
This stems from a complaint received on August 18th of 2020 from Northern States Power Company alleging a violation by Gladden Construction. The commission sent a letter to Gladden. Gladden did file a response. And on June 21st of 2021, a consent agreement between PSC Commission Advocacy Staff and Gladden Construction Incorporated was filed for the resolution of the complaint. This stems back to June 23rd of 2020. Gladden Construction personnel provided an excavation notice to the One Call Notification Center with work to begin on June 26th. The work was utility replacement and road grading in Castleton, North Dakota, at an intersection in Castleton. The expiration date for the ticket was July 17th, 2020. On July 17th of 2020, Gladden began excavation. While performing the work, they did damage a 6-inch plastic natural gas main line. In the process of that work, no customers were affected by the incident. I don't believe there were any injuries, but it did cause $2,736 worth of damage to that line. North Dakota Century Code provides that to avoid damage and to minimize interference, a ticket holder must or shall conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. Advocacy staff concluded that Gladden did violate North Dakota Century Code. They failed to conduct the excavation in a careful and prudent manner. As a result, I thought my summer cough was done, but the advocacy staff, as mentioned, did enter into a consent agreement with Gladden, and under the consent agreement, Gladden agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $5,900 with $2,000 suspended on the condition that they commit no further violation of North Dakota One Call Law within 5 years of the date of the order accepting the consent agreement. And again, this is so important when excavators are out in the field, assuming lines are accurately marked, which they typically are, almost always, frankly, they're accurately marked, and careful and prudent means that you're hand digging within 2 feet of the center line on either side, and doing that as carefully as possible because there are facilities. This was in the city of Castleton at an intersection with businesses and homes in proximity to where the incident occurred. A 6-inch natural gas line is a sizable facility. It carries a fair amount of product, and there's definitely risk, serious risk of injury, not to mention the interruption of service that customers may experience as a result. But injury or death is a critical factor in making sure that these companies are doing what they can to prevent that, and that's just a key component. And I know we're in the throes of road construction season. We see it as we are driving around whatever town we call home or whatever rural area we call home to get to, and it's that time of the year, so a lot of work is being done. I think the vast majority of the construction, overwhelming majority of the construction that occurs is done very well and very carefully. Obviously, we're not, or we would see far more hits on lines, but we strive for perfection because without that, there is that risk of injury and death out in the field. So we'll continue to monitor and process complaints accordingly when they come in. But again, message to all excavators, please be careful out there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, the third one, and I may have, actually this is probably the easiest of the bunch, and the other two are the intermediate ones, but nonetheless, I move the commission close Public Service Commission Alturas Energy LLC damage prevention enforcement case number PU-20-389.
Second.
Just quickly, the reason we are closing this case is that the company no longer exists and there is no way to get in contact with them. So the case is being closed as a result. They're not around anymore.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and last on my list for this morning, I move that the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Nodak Electric Cooperative Incorporated versus Otter Tail Power Company complaint, case number PU-20-356.
Second.
Okay, this is going to be somewhat lengthy. I'm going to start by framing it up and then giving some commentary after that and along the way as well. But this goes back to July 29th of 2020. Nodak Electric Cooperative filed a complaint against Otter Tail Power Company requesting it enjoin Otter Tail from extending electric service to a property located in the McFarland's addition in the city of Drayton. And at that time, it was not, it's worth noting that it was not yet a part of the city of Drayton. It was annexed in after that date. If I have my dates correct. No, I take that back. That's not true. So it was annexed previous. But it alleges that Otter Tail service, the complaint alleged that Otter Tail service to McFarland's addition would interfere with its existing services and that it would lead to unreasonable duplication of services. On August 17th of 2020, Otter Tail filed an answer asserting the commission lacked jurisdiction over Drayton's determination of which electric service provider was to serve the McFarland's addition. On August 26th, the commission found that the complaint stated a prima facie case and served the complaint on Otter Tail. In December of 2020, Charles Olson, the mayor, petitioned to intervene on behalf of Drayton, asserting it had the constitutional right to determine the electric service provider to the McFarland's addition. Otter Tail filed a motion on December 11th of 2020, and the motion was to dismiss Nodak's complaint, asserting that the commission lacked authority due to Drayton's constitutional right to franchise with Otter Tail to provide electric service to the McFarland's addition. And on December 28th, Nodak filed its response to Otter Tail's motion to dismiss. We held a hearing on April 16th of 2021, a public hearing, and it was held here at the commission. Both Nodak and Otter Tail appeared. Nodak presented testimony, the testimony of two witnesses, and introduced 11 exhibits, or 12 exhibits. Otter Tail presented testimony from 4 witnesses and introduced 4 exhibits. Drayton's only participation in Drayton, as in the city of Drayton, even though they had requested to intervene, petitioned to intervene, their only participation was through the mayor's appearance, Mr. Olson, Mayor Olson, and he was a witness on behalf of Otter Tail. Subsequent to the Public Service Commission, May 28th, 2021 work session, Otter Tail filed a request for oral argument on June 6th. Drayton filed a request for oral argument on June 8th of 2021, both citing Otter Tail's motion to dismiss and Drayton's constitutional rights. So when we get into the findings of fact with this order, NODAC is a rural electric cooperative and Otter Tail is an investor-owned utility. On January 6th, that is when this began, and I am going to backtrack on the annexation time frame. I believe I had said it hadn't been annexed, then I said it was annexed. It was annexed in 2019, so we'll get to that part. But on January 6th, 2019, the city of Drayton held a public meeting. That arguably is when the conversation really began with the proposed Love's Travel Stop that would be located at the time just outside of the established city limits on the other side of Interstate from the city of Drayton. On February 23rd of 2019, Love's, seeking electric service, initiated contact with NODAC of the proposed or for the proposed Love site. The area at issue, and you'll hear this a lot, is the McFarland's addition is what it's called. It was a parcel of land in 2019 at the time of that first public meeting that was held. Love's initiating contact with NODAC. It was outside of the city limits and west again of the city of Drayton. On August 12th of 2019, the City Council of Drayton approved annexation of the McFarland's addition, so roughly 6 months later, not quite 6 months, that area was annexed into the city of Drayton. As a result, McFarland's addition is now, today, located within the municipal limits of Drayton. On November 4th of 2019, McFarland's addition was purchased by a company with intent to construct a Love's travel stop on the property, and Otter Tail witness Walter and Love's testified that they had engaged in discussions in June of 2019, approximately 4 months after initiating contact with NODAC to seek electric service. Approximately 4 months later, they reached out to Otter Tail. So, in framing this up, there are two facilities currently in the McFarland's addition. And this is an important distinction I'm going to make. Otter Tail has a transmission line that runs, I believe it, if I, I don't have the diagram in front of me, but running on the west side. Just on the west edge of the McFarland's addition. But the important distinction, it's a transmission line. NODAC has a distribution line that crosses through the McFarland's addition, starting on the west edge, extending through and past the east edge. And that is a distribution line. So we have transmission lines that are quite abundant throughout the state. We have distribution lines that are abundant as well. But it's not economical to take power from a transmission line because you have to have a substation placed, and the cost is, it's just not an economical situation to do that. So that's not a viable option. And then another fact of the case is that NODAC does serve a three-phase customer 350 feet away from where the Love's travel stop will be. Otter Tail would have to extend service 1,000 feet. So we've got the two lines. Love's did request three-phase service. I don't know enough about power needs for truck stops, to be perfectly honest, but they did request three-phase service. So both NODAC and Otter Tail would be looking to provide that three-phase service. Again, NODAC, 350 feet in terms of the extension, Otter Tail, approximately 1,000 feet. The cost for NODAC would be $19,000 to extend service. The cost for Otter Tail would be $52,000. Now, in the whole scheme of things, I think it would be natural to say that's not a lot of money when you look at the big picture. But I don't want to get to the point where we're looking at what's a small amount, what is a large amount. It's still a 273% difference. Otter Tail would have to spend almost three times more to extend service. And again, NODAC has a distribution facility on the property. Now, another fact in the case, NODAC does not possess a franchise agreement with the city of Drayton permitting it to provide electric service to customers within the city. That is true. But at the same time, Drayton does not have a city ordinance requiring a franchise before providing electric service within the city. And Drayton does have, NODAC does have a customer now within the city limits, the Senex station, that same distribution line that crosses the McFarland's addition. It continues on, it moves north, and then it travels along the north edge of the city of Drayton. It does serve that Senex. We have one confirmed service customer. I believe there might be more, but as a part of the record, it's just the Senex that I will cite. NODAC and Otter Tail did execute a service area agreement in 1968. It was reviewed again by both parties in 1972. The map of that service agreement, area agreement, in terms of what Otter Tail would serve, does not include the city, or does not include the McFarland's addition. It does include the city of Drayton as it was presented at that time. However, with that said, that is not an area of jurisdiction to the commission. That does not mean it isn't a legally binding contract, but that is up for the courts to decide. That's not a jurisdictional area, again, for the commission, because that service area agreement was not brought forth for us to approve and ratify at the commission level. Had it been, then it would be jurisdictional. But from a legal standpoint, that's something, and to be candid, I believe that regardless of how this decision goes today, this will, in all likelihood, be appealed. I think that is a pretty safe assumption, that it will go to the district court through the appeal process. And at that point in time, that is something that I strongly suspect, will be a part of what is presented if it does get to that point. But again, that service area agreement, because it wasn't filed with the commission, we don't have jurisdiction over it, but also at the same time, as mentioned, it doesn't mean that it simply doesn't exist. It's just not something that we will use to rule on and make our decision today. So there were other components in the case that, because it's been a lengthy process, frankly, and NODAC contends that it has made investments to bring a significant amount of capacity to the area in contemplation to area growth. And I think that's a very common thing. Any utility is going to look at future expansion opportunities and place infrastructure and invest capital accordingly. That I would say is true whether it's a cooperative or whether it's an investor-owned utility. You have to be forward-looking and prepare for growth. NODAC did testify that they have made those investments to account for growth. I've already talked about the single-phase versus three-phase service, but again, the point on that was at almost three times the cost. I don't deem that to be economical. So then we get into the interference of service, because NODAC does have a single-phase line in place crossing the McFarland's addition. And to be honest, I don't think we would be here discussing this case if it were a six-pad RV stop off of the interstate. I don't think that would have been a lucrative load for for an investor-owned utility to go after. I think it would probably go off of the existing distribution line, be served. That's speculative on my part, but I look at the Senex, a similar situation. NODAC does serve the Senex. So I'm looking at the percentage, the fact that NODAC does have a distribution line in the ground. They improved it in 2009, made the investments to make improvements to that underground line. It actually extends under the interstate, moves to the north, serves a customer on the north side of Drayton, and again, McFarland's is on the west side of the interstate. So they do cross that already. The one thing that when I was going through and reading Century Code, and this might be more of an urging to all parties, but in section 4903-06 of Century Code, the section, the first point under 4903-06 states, this section authorizing service area agreements is intended to encourage harmony and operational efficiency among electric providers. That's the very first sentence. It's also to promote safety, discourage unreasonable duplication of electric facilities, assure adequate and reliable service for all customers and territories within the state, and provide antitrust immunity to electric providers that negotiate service area agreements in accordance with this section. I have a concern that if this wasn't served by the Rural Electric Cooperative, in this case NODAC, which can without question serve it more economical, and does have that existing facility in place, the precedence that this sets in terms of annexation being used as a tool to supersede service area agreements that are in place throughout the state, that's a serious concern for me. I think it becomes a mechanism to essentially pull the rug out from underneath the rural electric utility, and that would not help promote orderly development in the state. So I think this is an incredibly important case. It's not the only service area agreement that is out there that the commission hasn't seen, but again, there's still contracts that they're not nullified just because we haven't looked at them. It's just a matter of jurisdiction. And I also find it difficult to believe that when I try to interpret legislative intent that that type of a process would have been created to, again, move a customer from a defined territory, a rural territory, annex it into a city, and then in effect the provider would then become the investor-owned utility, and it really puts the cooperatives at a tremendous disadvantage. So I do worry about that, not just for this case, but for future cases as well. So it was stated in the record that the customer prefers service from Otter Tail. The Loves witness did state that. However, it's important to note that that is not an overarching factor. And it was even stated by one of the commissioners during, I believe it was during the hearing, that customers don't decide because that would lead to disorderly development. It would not help support orderly development. It's a factor, but it ranks much further down the list. We're really looking at unreasonable duplication of service and interference, and in this case I believe Otter Tail serving the load would do just that. I believe it would interfere, and I believe it would be a duplication of service, and the economics certainly favor NODAC. So I'm supportive of this order, and I'm prepared to vote to approve it if we do get to that point.
Our secretary is out of the room right now. Here he comes. Sorry. Brian has concluded his comments.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'd like to make a substitute motion at this time. I move the commission adopt a substitute findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Nodak Electric Cooperative Incorporated versus Otter Tail Power Company, complaint case number PU-20-356.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. Commissioner Crosius, you did a great job outlining all the kind of nuts and bolts of this very complicated case, and I appreciate that. And I in particular agree with a lot of your urgings on the area of the service area agreements. I have come to a conclusion that's different from yours, so I just want to outline some of the factors that I've taken into consideration and have led me to a different conclusion. So first of all, this case is triggered by a complaint by NODAC that they filed last fall. It was clarified through multiple filings before I think even they really settled on what it was that they were arguing was at fault here. And ultimately, the issues that were clarified were that that Otter Tail Power service at this location interfered with existing service and created the unreasonable duplication, which is really where we're at on this case, as Commissioner Crosius stated. Those are the two factors. In a complaint case, the burden of proof is on the complainant. And so that weighed heavily in my mind as I went through all the evidence that was brought forward. And while Otter Tail argued for dismissal offhand and made some constitutional arguments, and the Constitution is fairly clear, stating that, you know, the goal is to have maximum local self-government from all political subdivisions with minimal duplication of functions, and then specifically states that localities get to have franchise agreements for electric service. But really, the law also provides for the Public Service Commission to weigh in on and look at complaints where the franchisee or the public utility that is serving in a municipality cannot have extensions that interfere with existing services provided by a rural electric cooperative and or provides duplication of service that is unreasonable. So there again, those are the two key factors. So we move forward on those. I agree with the decision to move forward with those two factors and to not agree with Otter Tail's motion to dismiss. So on the first factor, interference with existing service, NODAC argued that the crossing of some of the facilities, there's, as Brian described, there's existing infrastructure, a transmission line, overhead transmission line by Otter Tail, underground distribution line by NODAC in this area. NODAC argued that the crossing of facilities would result in interference. However, this is common practice. It's not prohibited by the National Electric Safety Code or other safety regulations, and it will not prevent the extension of three-phase service to other locations and will not impact existing NODAC infrastructure. It's important to note there are no current customers in this McFarland's addition, and NODAC customers will not experience an interruption of service as a result of Otter Tail's designed extension, and NODAC will not lose existing infrastructure or customers from Otter Tail extending service to the McFarland addition. NODAC also clarified that the loss of future revenue was economic interference. And while the loss of future economic benefits may have some relationship to the issue of unreasonable duplication, the commission does not consider this for the purpose of evaluating interference with service. So essentially, NODAC did not meet the burden necessary to demonstrate that Otter Tail's extension into the McFarland's addition will cause interference with NODAC's service. So on the first factor, NODAC failed to meet the burden of proof. The second factor is unreasonable duplication, not duplication, unreasonable duplication. And that's a very important distinction here. There is no existing three-phase service within the McFarland's addition. That's just the reality that we're dealing with, and the customer there needs three-phase service. NODAC proposed this 350-foot extension at the cost of just under, well, about $19,000. Ottertail proposed a 1,000-foot extension at the cost of $52,000. NODAC testified that it made investments planning to serve the area's customers' growth and future development, but they never provide any quantification for how much they've invested in that area. They've made an initial investment, 30, 40 years ago, and then additional investments in 2009, but there is no information on the record as to what that investment is. So it was very difficult to weigh from them how much investment is at risk here. And so that really leaves us with the factors of they're spending $20,000 and Ottertail is spending $52,000. Well, a $33,000 difference in investment in this industry is peanuts. I mean, that is a very, very small amount of money. You can look at it percentage-wise, and it looks larger, but the reality is, when you're extending service into any new area, $33,000, even in an aid to construction, which sometimes is picked up by new residential customers, is a small amount of money to extend service. And so, to me, you just can't get to the level that's established in law, which is unreasonable duplication, with the $33,000 difference between those two extensions and a lack of any other information in the record provided by NODAC to suggest how much investment they have made in this area. So that, in my opinion, in the order I'm presenting, states that that the commission concludes that Ottertail's extension does not result in unreasonable duplication. And then ultimately, this order declares that Ottertail's motion to dismiss is denied, NODAC's complaint is dismissed, and request for relief is denied. And then furthermore, Ottertail and Drayton had requested additional oral arguments after our first work session. And I agree with both Brian's order and this one that denies that request for additional oral arguments because there was plenty of opportunities provided along the way for them to make their case. And that concludes my comments.
We have a motion to substitute the findings, facts, and conclusions of law and order. Is there any further discussion on the findings of facts as substituted? Actually, we should probably hang on. On the question of substituting the finding of facts, conclusion of law, and order, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Don't we discuss it?
Yeah.
The findings?
We have two orders.
We have two orders. We need to figure out which order we're going to
on the table
discuss.
Right now.
Right now, we have a motion to substitute this one. So it seems to me this order is under discussion to determine whether we should substitute it or not.
Correct.
I think there should be more discussion.
All right.
I have a few comments, but I know Commissioner Crisman hasn't.
So we'll continue discussion until such time as the commission is ready to make a decision on substituting the order.
So I have two things I'd like to address. I'll just take them one at a time, if that's all right, and that I can be recognized a second time. The first one has to do with page 7, number 9. And
on the substitute.
On the substitute motion. And, as was evidenced in our work session on this, when we had the work session, I hadn't reached a conclusion on this case back then, and frankly, I hadn't reached a conclusion on this case till this morning. And frankly, I think my disappointment in one of the parties was clouding my ability to see what I now think is more clear in the law. This number 9, I'm trying to make a potential motion as good as it can be. This is not a deciding factor in how I vote. But I get confused by the last half of the last sentence in here, where it says, "But the in referring to future revenue losses, that the commission does not consider this for the purpose of evaluating interference with service." And I sure don't want to send that impression out that that's our final word, and in future cases, loss of future revenue is something that we don't consider. To me, the earlier part of the sentence, and then as the order concludes on the next page, is what I think I mean to say, and so I start on the second line, loss of future economic benefits may have some relationship to the issue of unreasonable duplication, and then jumping to the next page in number 15 on page 8, the last sentence, but the commission concludes Otter Tail's extension does not result in unreasonable duplication. So I find this number 9 somewhat confusing. I don't think it's so confusing that it's a huge problem. I just pointed out if as maker of the motion, if you wanted to remove number 9, I would be fine with that. If you feel it's important for it to be in there, then I just at least am on the record as clarifying that I don't mean it in that way, that, mm-hmm. that loss of economic loss of future revenue won't ever be taken into consideration as economic interference.
So two thoughts, Randy. First of all, I agree that that this shouldn't prevent it from being considered in the future. I think that you're jumping from interference to duplication, and they're two separate. So I kind of like to see them separated out like this and looked at separately. And so what I think would be more accurate and leaves the door open is to change, but the commission has not considered this, because I think that's true. I think that the tradition of the commission has been that it hasn't considered that in the past, but that's not to say that if it was a compelling argument was made in the future, that it wouldn't.
And something that's likely to receive litigation, I'm not sure we want to, I'm not sure about amendments on the fly like this, so I guess if you, to work, I don't know that leaving the whole section out is a problem. I turn it to you because it's your motion.
Okay.
But to wordsmith it, I think we should make sure that legal counsel sees it too. But
how do you amend? How can we amend on the fly like this? I mean, because I am open to taking out number 9 as well, if that's the simplest manner.
You can make them. You can request the amendment to make a motion to approve the order as amended.
Okay. So, Commissioner Christman, would you clarify what you'd like your amendment to be?
I don't know.
Number 9.
I'd be okay with eliminating number 9 if you think that's better. Or, like I say, I want to be on the record as saying I don't mean to exclude this consideration in future cases.
Jack, does including that suggest that it can't be a factor in future cases?
I think there could be some consideration that would express and create a precedent that we wouldn't consider that in future cases for the purposes of interference.
Okay, then let's take it out.
Just for a purpose of clarification, did you want to remove it entirely, or did you want to move to amend it from does not to has not considered?
Which would you recommend? Because I'm okay with either of those alternatives.
If Commissioner Christman's okay with either, I would prefer has not. But
sure. I guess regarding the has not, my recollection, and as far as I know, we have not really considered that, but I haven't done a deep dive into necessarily all of our cases in the past. So I couldn't say definitively that we have not in the past. But as far as my understanding is, we haven't.
So maybe we should just eliminate them.
All right, and stick with physical interference. Okay. Fine with that. So it'll be as amended. Okay, was there other, you had another point though too, Randy?
Yeah, then. Up on the same page in number four. And Commissioner Krosh has, I thought, really explained this well. I guess I just reach a slightly different conclusion. The 2005 law made pretty clear that when it comes to the service agreements, there are certain factors that are necessary for us to be the arbiter of disputes in those. There has to be the notice, the approval, the finding of a service agreement is in the public interest as prerequisites for us to have regulation over them. And so in this case, we just don't have jurisdiction over that service agreement. And I'm so frustrated that Otter Tail would just dismiss the service agreement that they're a part of. And now maybe there are things we don't know on this because it is not our jurisdiction, so we didn't explore it. Maybe there's some reason for it, but if there was, it wouldn't have hurt them to point out why they feel they can just walk away from it. But as far as our jurisdiction is concerned, they can just walk away from it. And while that just disappoints me more than words can say in that company, I certainly thought better of them. In this case, it's something that is in someone else's jurisdiction, I presume the courts, but that's not even for me to say, I guess. But it certainly is clear that the 2005 legislation precludes us from determining that. And so what we're left with is unreasonable duplication. And it doesn't say, and I mean, logic would suggest that we can't be making these decisions if there is any duplication, even to $1 or one penny. It clearly says unreasonable duplication. And it just is impossible for me to get to the point to say that in this case that this is unreasonable duplication. And so despite my disappointment in Otter Tail's walking away from their service agreement, legally I have no basis to do other than to support this motion.
Well, just a few more comments. Again, I think this is problematic in a number of ways to not, in effect, give the service to NODAC or to that they would serve this particular load. The precedence that is set, and it has been set, frankly, for quite some time. The investor-owned utilities typically are not interested in a load unless it's very lucrative. Again, if this were a small customer, based on history that I've seen with IOUs, they would have little, if any, interest in serving that load. It would be placed upon the rural electric cooperative, which, you know, frankly, we have to look at how RECs work versus how IOUs work. RECs have to go a long distance on average between customers. It's going to cost more to provide service in the world of the RECs. They're nonprofits. this is really an 800-pound gorilla versus a nonprofit when you look at the size of NODAC. And I can't factor that into my legal decision or my decision from a legal standpoint, but that's very frustrating to me that IOUs, in effect, are able to pick the very best, and the RECs then get the scraps, what's left over. And they are at a competitive disadvantage when it comes to being as rate competitive, but for very good reason. And thank goodness they exist, or we would have rural farms and businesses located in the country that simply wouldn't have service. So I think this creates a playbook through annexation to circumvent what I believe the intent of the legislature was, and that was to encourage harmonious and operational harmony and operational efficiency among electric providers. And nothing in the record suggested to me that Otter Tail reached out to NODAC to try and work through this. Otter Tail went straight to the city council, and you saw the timeline in February. Loves is looking to work with NODAC. After June discussions, that changes. And in August, the property is annexed into the city and NODAC is out. And that really concerns me because this does set the table for more of that to happen in the future. And face it, both want to grow. Both types of utilities want to grow. They have to grow to remain efficient and economical. And that's just a reality. It's you know, growth is very helpful. But I do disagree with the amount. I think $33,000 to an investor-owned utility, frankly, I would agree, that is peanuts. It's quite different when you're a rural electric cooperative. I don't know how that's magnified, if it's five times over, if it's 10 times over, but it's a 273% difference. It's almost three times more. That's a lot. So I won't support the motion that would, in effect, give Otter Tail the service to Loves, and I guess we'll find out as when the vote unfolds.
Thank you, Brian. I think we've all kind of settled in an area where, while we're indifferent, we see it a little differently from a conclusion. We all have struggled with the service area agreement issue. And I will say from my perspective that understanding, reading the letter of the law clearly and understanding what we can and cannot do as it relates to service area agreements was a turning point for me on this case. And I think a lot of what you're talking about in terms of this issue of annexation and et cetera, those are the types of things that can be alleviated with better discussions about service area agreements and the companies sitting down together and negotiating these boundaries and talking about their futures and coming up with an agreement, filing it with us, and meeting the steps established by legislators to try to minimize this type of conflict. And for whatever reason, the parties didn't do that in this case. I don't know why NODAC wouldn't have brought that service area agreement to Otter Tail for discussion and to gone through those steps. But I would really urge any others that are out there to make sure you have an active and approved service area agreement that has been discussed at the community level, discussed amongst each other, and brought to us for final approval and following the steps provided for by the legislature. Okay, I'd like to move that the commission amend the substitute order removing conclusion of law, paragraph number 9. And then I'd like to move the commission approve the substitute order as amended. Can I do that all in one motion?
I guess we could consider that as one motion.
Thank you.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Steve, did you want to do a roll call vote, or would that suffice?
I can.
I think the record will be very clear.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchuk, or Chairman Fedorchuk?
I voted in favor of the substitute motion as amended.
Commissioner Christman?
Aye.
Commissioner Crosius?
Nay.
The substitute motion and order are adopted, and the previous motion is dead. So the substitute motion and order are adopted.
As amended.
Yes, as amended.
Thank you. Okay, that concludes the regular agenda. We will, let's see here. I'm gonna look for a couple announcements. Hold on. Okay. So we have an informal this afternoon.